Be on this whole year unless God changes, because I keep getting more and more stuff. But the title is being God's ideal woman, and we're looking for her, and all the guys said, yeah, I am too. This is part five. I'm going to try to pick up where I left off last week, but I'm going to say a little bit before. Let's see where I want to get glasses on. See where I want to go here. Let's, Beth, will you put up Genesis chapter 2? I think it's 20 through 24. A lot of times you need to know the purpose of things. And that's one thing that a lot of people do not know nowadays. You know, they don't even know if they're a dog or a cat or a human or all of that stuff, or a male or a female. So let's look here in Genesis chapter 2. And see if we can find the purpose of a woman. And this will be the Amplified version. If you don't have it, that's what Beth's putting on the screen. Well. Yeah, that's the first one, ain't it? Thank you. Yeah, do the Genesis 1, 26 through 28. I was looking at the wrong one. Thank you. Now here in verse 26, God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image after our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the tame beast, and over all of the earth, and over every creeping thing upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image and likeness of God he created him, male and female. Now he has not created the female yet, or either one of them. It says he created them, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, using all its vast resources in the service of God and man, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves upon the earth. Now God wanted a family, and he created them down here to rule and reign here in the earth, right? He gave them dominion. Now he hasn't made them yet, but he's telling them what he's going to do. Now let's look over here, and I'm trying to lay a little bit of foundation for some of this, but we're going to have to skip around. Genesis chapter 2, verse 20. Now, God has already made the man. You can go back and read this for yourself, but he's already made the man. He's done made all the creatures and all that, and Adam just got through naming all of them. So here in verse 20, it says, and Adam gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the air and to every wild beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper. So we see here, what is a woman? A helper. It says meet. She's supposed to be suitable, adapted, complementary, not competition, right? All that, we've done talked about that, how that a lot of women today, they have this idea, well, I can do everything a man can do. That's not so. That should not even be in our thinking. Why? Because we're not in competition with each other. Everybody has their purpose of why God made them and what they're supposed to be doing, and everything is supposed to complement the other, right? So we go on here, and he says, a helper meet, suitable, adapted, complementary for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and while he slept, he took one of his ribs or a part of his side and closed up the place with flesh. And the rib or part of his side, which the Lord God had taken from the man, he built up and made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this creature is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of a man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother. Don't be live shacking up in the basement. Y'all ain't saying much. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall become united and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So, if we're supposed to be one flesh, do you understand what the world and this world system is trying to do to the family? They say that this really started up like back in the 60s. I don't know, because I wasn't around in the 60s. From what I can understand and the best that I can find, nobody ever taught me this stuff. I didn't know this stuff. And the best example that I had, that I saw when I was growing up, would be my grandparents. Now, my grandparents at the time really wasn't active serving the Lord or whatever, but they had a lot of the qualities and the principles that God actually instituted. I never, ever heard my grandmother backtalk my grandfather. Now, she may have did, but I never heard it. And at one point, we had to live with them for a little while. And I never seen the man open so much as a can of soup to feed himself. Now, his kids are here. If he did, I never saw it. My grandmother, she would get up, and she would, it'd be cold, you know, and she would get up, leave him in the bed, and she would go turn on a little electric heater in the kitchen, then she would go build a fire, and then she cooked breakfast, and then she came and woke him up. And y'all looking at me dumbfounded. Is this so far gone that we don't even know what I'm talking about? Monty said, yeah. Sandy's like, no. But anyway, I've been looking up some of the statistics on this stuff because I don't see anybody much. I mean, I see y'all. I see people at the grocery store. I see people at Walmart. And that's about the limit of my scope of my interaction with people. And most of the time, I don't talk to anybody there unless it's, yeah, thank you, whatever. But anyway, and I would see her build a fire, and then she would cook breakfast, and then she would go wake him up. And then he would go to work, and then she would go to work. Now, this wasn't when their kids was little. I don't think she worked at all when y'all was little, did she? No, I didn't think so. Well, and they told stories about there was times he would work 2 and 3 jobs. I mean, he's got 6 kids. And as a man, as a husband, what is the husband one of his roles? Provider, right? We don't have to go. We already went through some of this. But he is supposed to be the provider. He's supposed to be the protector, right, of his family against the enemy, against the world, against anything that would come to harm him or whatever. Well, then she would go to work. Then she would come home before he did. And then she would start supper. And then we would eat supper. And everybody would go to bed. I never even seen the man wash his own hair, Johnny. I don't know why that was. Did he ever wash his own hair? I don't know why that is. Now, I'm not saying if you're a married woman, you got to wash your man's hair. I don't know. Scotty don't necessarily want me to wash his hair, but he does like for me to wash his back. And I like it, too, because he don't get it real clean, so to speak. That's what I tell him anyway. I don't know why she washed his hair. I guess that's something he wanted her to do. But nowadays, a lot of what we have is this competition, and a lot of women are like, you don't tell me what to do. You're not my daddy. Y'all getting real quiet now. So we're going to deal with some of this stuff. And so the purpose of a woman is to be what? And what I've found in the Bible so far that I have found, I don't know it all or researched at all, but what I have found in the Bible, most of the time or all of the time that I have found, a woman or young lady stayed in the house of her father and was under her father's authority until she got a husband. And then once she got a husband, she came out from under her father's authority and she came under her husband's authority. Gosh, this is going over real well. All right, so the purpose of a woman is to be a helper. And a lot of times we don't even, as women, we don't know what that means. We think it's because y'all ain't got good sense. God, y'all real quiet. it's not because y'all don't have good sense. God has a purpose for a man. What did he tell them the purpose was? Subdue the earth, right? Be fruitful, multiply, all this. So they've got purpose and everything. But one of the things that we found out is the woman, she adapts to the husband's purpose or the husband's vision. I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. Let's read this one before we go on. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 14 through 16, and I've got it in the King James Version. Now, this is after they got in trouble. They don't eat the fruit, and here comes God. What did I say, 14? Yeah. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, after he done talked to the man and everything, it says, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. I didn't write this. I can hear women just now, they just fell out that's listening by way of internet. Why? We don't like to hear that. Pride and rebellion does not like to hear that stuff. Whether you're a man or whether you're a woman, but God is the one that said it. Let me see what I got here. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, this is where we left off last week. So my purpose that God has planned for me is to be, I have a husband, so I am to be his helper, right? Not his boss. Let me say it again, y'all didn't say no. Not his boss. Not his dominator. Not the one that makes all the decisions. Not the one that gets the vision. Not the one that tells him what to do, right? Because we want to stay with the Word. Because when we do, it's safety. It's blessing. Now I'm going to read this in the Amplified, and then we're going to go back and break some of this stuff down. And I got to finish up my story I was telling y'all last week. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, and this will be the Amplified. It says, "In like manner, you married women, be submissive to your own husbands, subordinate yourselves as being secondary to and dependent on them, and adapt yourselves to them so that even if any do not obey the word of God," in other words, if they're lost or they don't obey God, it says, "they may be won over not by discussion but by the godly lives of their wives when they observe the pure and modest way in which you conduct yourselves. Together with your reverence for your husband, you are to feel for him all that reverence includes. To respect," we said that was one of the biggest things for men, as far as generally, "defer to, revere him, to honor, esteem, appreciate, prize, and in the human sense, to adore him. That is, to admire, praise, be devoted to." We would call that ride or die, right? I'm just saying in our the way we talk. "Deeply love and enjoy," notice that, "enjoy your husband. Let not yours be," excuse me, "let not yours be the merely external adorning with elaborate interweaving and knotting of the hair, the wearing of jewelry or changes of clothes." Now, did he say that you can't wear that? He didn't say you can't wear it. He said, but don't let that be what it is. "But let it be the inward adorning and beauty of the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible and unfading charm of a gentle and peaceful spirit, which is not anxious or wrought up, but is very precious in the sight of God. For it was thus that the pious women of old who hoped in God were accustomed to beautify themselves and were submissive to their husbands, adapting themselves to them as themselves secondary and dependent upon them. It was thus that Sarah obeyed Abraham, following his guidance and acknowledging his headship over her by calling him Lord, Master, Leader, Authority, and you are now her true daughters if you do right and let nothing terrify you, not giving way to hysterical fears or letting anxieties unnerve you." Now go back to verse 1. It says, "In like manner, you married women, be submissive to your own husbands, subordinate yourselves as being secondary and dependent." Did it say dependent or independent? Dependent. When I went back and I read the story about Adam and Eve, this is the scenario that I saw. So I'm going to paraphrase. They're there. I don't know what Adam's doing. I don't know if he's over yonder, you know, picking some other fruit or standing. I don't know. But anyway, we know the story. The serpent starts talking to Eve. Now, Adam is the one told Eve, we don't need of this, right? I see where God told him, but I don't see where God told her. I don't know if what's the case. But anyway, he was the one supposed to be the protector in that garden. So here's the serpent telling her. And when it says here, dependent upon, if she had have said, now I'm just going to paraphrase it, okay, in modern day language. "Hey, baby, this serpent over here is disputing your word. He's telling me that we can eat this fruit and we won't die. But now you told me we can't eat this fruit because in the day that we do, we will die." So then what happens? Now, look what she's doing. She's dependent. This is what independent women do. They paint the house. They buy new furniture. They got credit cards maxed out. The husband knows nothing about. God, y'all are really getting real quiet. What's that mean? She's independent. A dependent woman talks to her husband about things. She asks questions about things. I'm having to learn this stuff. Now, I have not always been this way that y'all have seen me. There was a time that I remember that me and Scotty, it was like, we can never have another argument. Oh, this is just bliss. And this went on for a while. I would finish his sentences. He would finish mine, and we would be fine with it. But somehow or another, I've been married 39 years this year in August. So it's been a long time. We've been through a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff before we got born again. A lot of stuff after we've got born again. And people didn't teach me this stuff. I didn't grow up knowing this stuff. I don't hear a lot of sermons down the lines that I'm talking about. So I did not know, and it's like God is teaching me. And it's like what he's teaching me, I have to check with him how far I come and bring it to you, because that's what he's wanting. Because see, the enemy is out to destroy the families. See, a lot of people think if the right president gets in, or the right people gets in office, or we get the right governor. No. We didn't get in this shape because of a wrong president. Hello? We got in this shape because of Christian people not living the way they're supposed to under God and doing what they're supposed to and teaching their children. Now, sometimes you can teach a child and they may not do everything that you say. I'm not saying that. But if you did teach them, it's not because you didn't. But a lot of it is going on because we have not taught our children, because our parents did not teach us. I told you about, I've been looking into statistics because my realm is really little. They said, now this was Saved and Lost, the whole United States, out of 100% of divorces, what percentage do you think women instigate the divorce? What would you think? 75, 60, 99? You're close. 80%. So they say, now I don't know, I didn't do no, I'm just reading theirs. You can Google it. 80% of women, they say, out of 100% of divorces, file for the divorce first. We have a problem about that. And I'm going to tell you, finish up my story here in just a little bit. They said that out of Christians, I looked at the Baptists and the Pentecostal, I remember them and I don't remember on the other ones. They said 26% of those people that consider themselves to be Pentecostals divorce. They said that 12% of those that considered to be their self Baptist divorce. And I'm thinking, hey, what's up with that? They got 12 and we got, some call us Pentecostal, 26. And you know what they said the number one reason for divorcing that was? That people are saying? Y'all don't got a clue? What would you think maybe? No. You're very close, Monty. Different denominations or different beliefs was the number one reason why that Christians get a divorce. So that goes back over to, see, now we have heard and been told and even believe, because the Word says it, don't be unequally yoked together with a non-believer. Well, for a lot of us, and that was my thinking for a lot of years, that just means that a Christian should not marry a non-Christian. And that is what it means. But then you got to think a little bit deeper, because the person, especially when you're young, the person that you're going to marry, where are y'all going to church? Because Christians go to church, don't they? We're supposed to. So where are you going? You going to the Baptist church or the Pentecostal church or the Methodist church or the basement church? Where are you going? Number one reason for Christians, they said, a divorce. So before you marry somebody, you better find out just what kind of Christian they are and what their belief system is. Because, see, even if the husband allows you, when you're young especially, if the husband allows you to continue with whatever you feel that your denominations or belief is and go into that church, then when you have kids, where are they going? They go into his church? They go into mama's church? Grandmama goes to a different church, so are they going to grandmama's church? Okay, let's go back to the beginning. What is the woman supposed to do? The man is supposed to lead, right? The woman is supposed to go where she wants to. Well, I got Jesus for myself. I'm a better Christian than you are. No. She follows him. Why? God set things up so there is order. God is a God of order. He is not a God of chaos. Whenever he came here to the earth and he said, seen that it was a void and chaos and all that, what did he do? First thing he started doing was talking and bringing order to the earth, right? That's what's the first thing he does when he creates the family. He gives them purpose and he sets things in order. You cannot have two heads. Just like this, a guy was talking to me about getting married, young guy, I think 17. I'm like, oh gosh. And like 17, got a girlfriend, you know, and all this, talking to him about getting married and all that, knows how young I was, and did I regret it and all that? I said, no, I never regretted it. I never regretted it. I said, now, I imagine probably because of my age and his age or whatever, we had a lot of hardships that we would not have had we maybe been older. I don't know, but I never regretted it. But I told him, I said, listen, if you're going to marry a girl, the first thing you better do before you marry her is get y'all somewhere to live. I said, because you don't want to live with your mama and them. Why? A king cannot be a king in another king's house. A queen cannot be a queen like she's supposed to in another queen's house. It says, leave your father and your mother, right, and cleave to your wife. So go get your own house. So women, when you're looking for a husband, what's the answer? Are you living in mom and dad's basement? Do you got a job? Where you're going? What's your purpose? What's your vision? How do you see marriage? Where do you go to church? Do you go to church? See, I think a lot of times because we've not been taught, we just kind of go with what we've seen before us or what we feel. Right? Oh, Cindy, he just gives me the giggles inside. I just feel so good. He ain't got no job. I know it, but it don't matter. He's going to get a job. Yeah, but he smacked you in your mouth. I know it, but he's sorry. He's never going to do it again. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. And see, because we don't do these things, we don't know, or if we do know, we bypass them. We get ourselves in a lot of trouble that if we had followed what God said, would have saved us. Why? God is a father. He's a protector. He's a provider, right? He stands just like the man does. A lot of the qualities that the man brings to the table in marriage and in relationship is the same that God the Father has. And that he gave the example in Ephesians 5:22 where he talked about the husband and wife relationship. When you look at the church in Christ, that's what you're supposed to see. So that tells me he's got to get us in order. Because when you look at a lot, not all, but a lot of Christian marriages today, they represent everything but Christ and the church. And they got a lot. We got a lot of problems on the count of it. So now this word here in a... Let's see where it said. It says, in like manner, you married women, be submissive to your own husbands. Subordinate yourselves as being secondary to and dependent. So the wife is what? She's dependent on her husband. She asked him questions. If he asked her, now listen, guys, don't tell your wife. You ain't going out this house without him. Because a lot of times for a woman, when you say it like that, hell's going to freeze over if I don't. And I'm not saying that's okay. But maybe you could ask, could you not wear that? Or could you not do that? Or could you not go there? You know, Christ doesn't dominate the church. Right? So the husband should not dominate. And just because he's head, what that means is you're leader and the responsible party of your wife and your children. Amen? But where it says their wives adapt, we got on this, started getting on this a little bit last week. We're going to break it down. Let me see through my notes where that, see if I can find that where I had it, that word. Well, I don't see it right now. Anyway, I'll just tell you. Adapt. Just like this. The husband is the leader. The wife and the children are the followers. So the husband, he has his vision from God, his purpose from God. One of the things that Scotty was looking for when he got saved was purpose. I was not. I was looking for joy and peace. My life was so messed up. And his thing was, if God is so good like everybody tells me he is, why do I live here on this earth and then die and go to hell? Because what is my purpose for being here? So God places that inside a man of what his purpose is, of what God's called him to do, and that is a lot of different things, but the basics will be the same. You understand what I'm telling you? Okay. So, In a marriage relationship, the wife adapts to the vision of the husband. Why? The husband is the leader. And y'all are so excited and said amen. Right? So I started telling y'all this story, and I really don't like doing this stuff, but God makes me a lot of times because I can only tell you what I know or what he shows me. So this word adapt here means I'm supposed to change my vision because I have a husband to my husband's vision. Well, my husband, as you all know, about 6 years ago, this come up, buy 40 acres of land for, what was it, 13,000, somewhere around in there, 12,000 something, 13,000, whatever. And I had already, now unknown to me, started this dominating, controlling, like thing, whatever you want to call it, I don't know. But anyway, this all started before then. I don't know when it all started. But anyway, that land deal come up. And we had talked about being out of debt. We know the word says, be out of debt, owe no man nothing but to love him, right? So this land come up, and we didn't have any cash money to buy the land, and I didn't want the land. I have 15.93 acres where I live. Nobody can move any closer to me than what they are right now. I'm fine. Y'all get it? I'm fine. But lo and behold, not Scotty. Scotty, ever since, even before he got saved, he is a dreamer. He just couldn't bring any of it to pass before he got saved. So lo and behold, this man, he looks for land everywhere. He looks for tractors. He looks for backhoes. He looks for trailers. He's always looked. Asked, did you look this morning, dear? Why are you laughing? Last night? He's always looking. I am not looking for anything. I told him, I said, you ought to be married to Darson Sandy. That's what you ought to get. I need the bare minimum. I don't even have a lot of pictures and stuff on my walls, because for me, if my stuff doesn't have purpose, I could care less. Him, his purpose is to get stuff, to find stuff. So lo and behold, anyway, this land come up. And I am so sick of being in debt, because he makes the money, he provides, he brings it home. I'm the one who makes out the checks and decides what bills to pay and what not to pay when there's not enough. So I am sick of this. I want out of debt. Well, here he goes. He believes this is God. And he has a vision for this. And so he's just got to have this land over there. And he tells me he believes it's God. And so this is what I do. I say, well, that's fine. Because, see, I don't really want it anyway. I said, that's fine. I said, but if we can't get it by faith, then that means we don't get it, right? He don't say nothing. He just kind of went on about his way or whatever. And I'm thinking, he's not going to buy this except by faith. Get the money in hand, cash go down there. Well, lo and behold, Sandy, that's not what he done. He went to the bank, he borrowed the money, and he went and paid for the land. Problem number one, can y'all see it? Where is it? Nope. Nope. You got it, Johnny. Now, I want you to say it. This is Sunday school. We can have some interaction. You know, just don't talk over me. Then I'm not going to give you the microphone. But anyway, it's me. Number one problem is the follower does not tell the leader. Does the church tell Christ what to do? Does the church dominate him? If that is the mirror, if that is the image, then the marriage relationship cannot do it either. But I feel, I don't care what you feel, or I don't care what you think, right? We want to stay with the Bible. We want our best to do what God wants us to do, right? And our relationships to reflect him and our children and our legacy after us, right? So number one, I started off wrong right off the bat. I could have done that differently, but I did not. And I didn't notice it at the time. Don't let me go over time because I'm not paying attention. Anyway, so then the next thing is, lo and behold, here we go. He goes and he buys the land. Now, I mean, unless God just absolutely, positively told you no, how could you not buy 40 acres of land for $13,000? But he felt like God wanted him to. You know, it was in his heart for land and all that stuff. So, lo and behold, number one mistake I made was telling him what we're going to do, how we're going to do this. That's not my job. I'm not supposed to do that. Now, listen, I'm talking about an ideal scenario. Where the husband is born again, he serves the Lord, does his best to follow the Lord. The wife loves her husband, loves the Lord, does her best to follow the Lord and her husband. I'm talking about a godly, right kind of scenario. Because listen to me, guys, some of y'all have not been good leaders. And I'm not just talking here in this house. I'm all over the world right now. Facebook, internet, all that stuff. So you're going to have to step up your game if y'all want us to follow y'all. But now this woman he's talking about here, her husband doesn't follow God. Right? Even if he does not obey God, it said. So it tells us still as women, God's ideal women, of how we're supposed to be. So number one, I started off wrong telling him how he's going to get it. That's not my job. That's God's job. Now, if he did wrong in getting it that way, God will take it up with him. Well, then lo and behold, here we go. He stays over there a lot. He still goes to work, just like he always did, but it's like every waking second nearly after that, he's over there at that lamb. Why? He's got to get ponds. He's got to dream of cows, and so it's got no water on it. He's got to make ponds. He's got to have a barn, you know, and he just like has this drive, purpose to get this done. Well, now, I'm not liking all this. Number one, I didn't want the land to begin with. Number two, I don't like the way you got it. Number three, it's taking you away from me, and I'm supposed to be the love of your life after Jesus. Right? Woman's number one thing. Christ's supposed to love the church, right? Now, Sandy, he's loving me to him. But to me, he's not. Why? Already I'm distorted about this thing because I started off wrong right off the bat. So my vision is not clear, and I'm still not adapting. I'm dependent. You come over here and do what I want you to do. Gosh, we could hear a pin drop. You come do what I want you to do. You come do what makes me feel good. This is your job to do this. Y'all not saying nothing. Well, I said this was 6 years ago, so this has been going on a long time. Well, lo and behold, you know, then he's got to buy, what was the first thing you bought, a track hoe? He's got to buy a track hoe. That's more money that we ain't got, looks like. Then he's got to have a bulldozer. Then that bulldozer sits, it's just sitting over by itself, Johnny, and catches on fire and just burns to the ground. So then we got to buy another bulldozer. Y'all not saying nothing. Then we got to have three tractors in case this one tears up, and I need this one to haul this. But this one is four-wheel drive, so I need it to bush hog because the land is only like 27 acres maybe usable. It's got valleys, deep valleys in some of it or whatever. So I'm not liking this stuff even more than before. Why? See, do you understand? Are you getting the scenario where I'm going with this? Well, oh, Lord, and he's good. So I start, most of the time he's over there. I'm alone from 7 o'clock in the morning till 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night. He's over there after he gets off work. He goes straight over there and does his thing. And one time he had to stay overnight because he caught stuff on fire and it's arcing in the tree of the neighbor's house. But anyway, I'm not liking all this. I'm feeling lonely. Most of the time you ask a woman what she thinks, she tells you how she feels. Most of the time you ask a man what he thinks, he tells you what he thinks. If you ask him how he feels, most of the time he can't because he's going to tell you what he thinks. We're made different but compatible to one another. So anyway, I'm feeling very lonely. I'm feeling unloved. He doesn't love me. If you loved me, you would come over here and stay with me. Now see, if he was having to work that many hours to provide for me, it wouldn't have bothered me. Do you get what I'm saying? This is not provide for, this is after work and you're choosing to stay over there. Now while all this is going on, I'm getting very ugly. Very ugly. One night I broke the coffee table. I mean, it's not good. And so I keep telling him that. Then I start having these thoughts about having an affair. Listen to me, guys, most women, not all, but most of the time when a woman has an affair, it's not about relations. We'll say it that way. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Most of the time, not saying it can't be, most of the time that's not why. It's because of how she feels. She's looking for somebody to make her unlonely, for somebody to make her feel loved. You understand what I'm saying? For a guy, it's usually different, not always. But anyway, so I'm having all these feelings, and these thoughts start coming. Now listen, I am one usually that I go to the store, most men don't even look at me, because I kind of put off this aura of, Don't talk to me. I'm not available. I don't want to know you, and I don't care. I mean, a lot of times I go to Walmart, and it's usually older men. They see my truck, see me get out. They'll say something like, for another nickel, you could have got a yellow truck. And I'll be like, oh, yeah. And I go on in the store where, you know, you got some women. I mean, they marry, but, gosh, they've got wear available sign right across their chest. So anyway, I don't allow any kind of thoughts or anything. But see, I'm already messed up, and I'm going down a wrong road. Then I start having these thoughts about having an affair. And it's not about the relations. I want somebody to love me, and he's not loving me, I feel like. Well, and I would tell Mama, and I didn't tell her about that. And I don't tell her everything because, listen to me, he's her pastor. I can't say, tell stuff, even though she's my mama, I should not tell her stuff that's going to make her see him in a bad light. Love covers. So that I can only go so far, even though she's my mama and I need help. You understand what I'm saying? So I would tell Mama about he stays over there all the time, you know, and everything. And when I would try to talk to him and tell him how I'm feeling, he would say, you're blessed, Teresa. You're just so blessed. And I'd be like, I know I'm blessed, but I don't feel blessed. Then I'd say something about it later. You're so blessed, Teresa. I got so sick of hearing I was blessed, Johnny. And I would tell Mama, he stays over there day and night, you know, and I'm alone, this, that, and another. And I would say, and he just keeps telling me how blessed I am. And Mama said, oh, well, Tracy. See, I don't have a pastor's wife that I could go to. One time I went to the first one, and what she told me was at a ladies' meeting, and I asked her a question, and she told me, refer to Bradley, he's the more spiritual one. That's not good. Everybody needs leadership in every area. Anyway, so back to my story. Then I see in my spirit one day, I see one dirt road, and then I see the dirt road, it forks off, and it starts going further and further away from each other. I still didn't get a clue, Sandy. And I told Scotty, I said, we live two separate lives. We are. My, I did not adapt. So he's going one direction, and I'm going another direction. Sandy, I still ain't got a clue. I'm causing all this. Well, then things get worse and worse and worse, you know, and I'm having these thoughts about having an affair and all that and different. Listen, for me, having an affair, that's not relations. For me, to talk to a guy is an affair. Got y'all real quiet. For me to talk, I don't even, listen, if I need Monty to do Sunday school, I don't text Monty, do I? I text April. Why? I don't ever want to open a door where Monty might think I mean something I don't mean. You know what I'm saying? So I try my best to never even open a door like that. So for me to talk to a man when it was not absolutely necessary, that's an affair to me. I don't care. You don't have to be in the bed for that to be an affair. There's what they call emotional affairs. You know when you're crossing that line, right? So anyway, I'm having these thoughts, and I don't tell him that. God forbid I don't tell him that or nothing. But anyway, and I tell him, I say, well, let's go to marriage counseling. He's like, I'm not going to marriage counseling. So I thought, okay, he ain't going to go to marriage counseling. I need some help. I'm getting worse and worse and worse. I get to the point I don't enjoy nothing. There's nothing in my, I don't enjoy my husband. I don't enjoy church. I enjoy nothing. And he would tell me, well, why don't you do this? And I'm like, you don't understand. It don't matter what I do, I'm not happy. Well, no matter what I do, I get no joy or no peace out of it. And I still don't get a clue sometimes. Oh, the Lord has to help us a lot. So anyway, marriage counseling deal. No, I'm not going to marriage counseling. Y'all ever heard of Jimmy Evans? I can't remember his wife's names. Anyway, he's real big on marriage stuff. So here, I'm going to fix this problem. I got to take charge and fix this problem we got. And every man in here knows what I'm talking about when your wife says, okay, I'm going on a diet. What's that mean? We all going on a diet. So I'm going to fix our problem. So I look up marriage sermons on the internet of Jimmy Evans, you know, marriage sermons and stuff like that. And we do that for a week or two, and Scotty, he just hates it. He just sits there and listens. But he's like, oh. You can just see it. You know how your kids look at you? Oh, God. But he's sitting there. Now, he's not doing anything. He's just listening. He don't need it, Johnny. He's living his best life. See? Then, so he ain't going to marriage counseling. That lasts about a couple of weeks. I can see he's miserable. So if he's not liking it, that's even worse. Now you flared me up again, so we can't do that no more. Y'all not saying nothing. Anyway, so then I told him, I looked it up online. I was going to go to a therapist myself. I thought, you won't go do marriage counseling. I need some help around here. We got to have some help. I'm about to leave you, whatever. And he, you know what he says, Johnny? Men, don't say this to your wives if she ever says that. I told him, I said, I looked up a therapist online, what they do, you know, and all that stuff, and Christian therapist, you know, trying to find a Christian therapist and all that, because I'm not going to a worldly one. This is what he says to me. I am your therapist, Teresa. Oh, gosh. Fire hits me in the top of my head. You are my therapist. Well, you ain't helping me none. You are the problem, and you're making me worse. So, more time goes by. Like I said, this has been 6 years, almost 6 years. More time goes by. I'm getting more miserable and all this stuff and everything. I don't enjoy anything. I can't figure out what the problem is. Then it gets to the point to where it's a lot of times we can't even be in the same room together. And we can't figure out why. He told me one night, and this, I have a lot of scripture in Proverbs, but I'm not going to sprain that one on y'all today. Maybe that's for next week or whatever. About brawling, quarrelsome women, disagreeable women. Men don't like that, ladies. They sometimes, if they get tired of arguing with you, they'll let you leave you to yourselves. Or they won't tell you the truth because you're not listening anyway. I didn't hear it when he says he tried to tell me. But anyway, this gets so bad and everything until one day, recently, probably about 3 or 4 months ago now, I told y'all the story about God. Well, first I was praying and I told God, I said, God, you've got to do something. You've got to help us. You're the only one that can, God. Help us. Help me, God. What is the problem? Be ready. Got to really want the answer. And just one little time went by, and just out of the blue, he said, I need you to be more feminine. I don't know what that means. I think that means wearing makeup, dressing up, wearing a dress, high heels, and all that. And I'm thinking, oh, God, yuck. That's the world's femininity. What would you think if you come in here and you saw two guys sitting in a pew and one has his head on the other one's chest? What would y'all think? John and Jesus did that. Is that feminine? That's love. See, but the world has it so twisted that women think femininity is what you put on, but according to Scripture, it's what's in your heart. And then what's in your heart is how you will adorn yourself, right? So anyway, back to my story here. I got to finish this up. I got just a couple minutes. I'm crying out to God. He tells me I need you to be more feminine. Well, when he tells me that, God could have downloaded the whole thing of what that means to me, but he won't. Seekers find, right? So I go on this quest of hunting godly, biblical femininity. And this is all out in the world right now today, too. They don't know either. They think they do, but they don't. So then I come across some of that. Then a couple of days later, after I tell him what the Lord said to me, we have this real big argument. And after he goes to bed, it's usually when I pray, you know, and tell the Lord all my stuff. Then he's fixed and changing and everything. And I'm out there, and I didn't hear nothing that night. The next morning, I'm thinking about mine and God's conversation and the argument that we had and all. And this is what God told me. I said, God, what is the problem? Because I don't have a clue. And this is what he said. He said, it's your dogged determination. Any of y'all know what dogged means? Don't say it, Scotty, because you know. Any of y'all know what dogged means? If you do, tell me. What do you think it means? What? Get a hold of and not let go? What, Johnny? Stubbornness? Let me just read it to you. The word dogged in the Webster's Dictionary says stubbornly determined. God said, that's the problem. You're stubbornly determined. I looked at the word stubborn in the Webster's Dictionary, and it says inflexible, difficult to control, handle, or manage. Ain't that what he said about the children of Israel? you stiff-necked people. But he told it to me, your dogged determination. Now, when God starts telling you things, start looking. I did not know what dogged meant, Johnny. I thought, well, that's a strange word to tell me, dogged. And then I thought, what's that mean? Because, see, I didn't even know what this word adapt meant. So I went in there and I looked it up and I thought, oh, I get it, God. Because, see, I had this mentality of, I don't care if it hair lips the world. I'm going to say it. I'm going to do it. Y'all ain't saying nothing. We're talking about me, guys. Lighten up. We're talking about me. But it's that dogged, stubborn determination is what he said. So God starts telling me all this stuff. I start pursuing. I start looking through scriptures and all this stuff and everything. And then one night, and I mean, it's every day he's bringing this stuff to me, talking to me about it and giving me scripture about it. And one night I feel in here, in my spiritual senses, I saw an onion and I saw layers coming off of an onion. And you know what God told me? He said, I am your therapist. Ain't that what the word says? The Holy Spirit is our counselor. I did not know God could be your therapist or your marriage counselor. I did not know that. I knew he'd help you if you asked him. But see, I have layers. I didn't get this 6 years ago. I had layers of wrong thinking, wrong doing, wrong talking, all this stuff. So then, after I say that, a little more time goes by. Like I said, this has been months. And then one day, in here, I see like a rose when it's closed up tight and the petals are just starting to open. Now, what did I do? I changed and adapted my vision to him. I have joy again, Johnny. I have peace. We're not arguing. After God told me it's your dogged determination, and I said, okay, I'm not going to have that no more. We have not had one argument. Not a one. Scotty did not change. Not a bit. That man ain't changed a bit. Other than, you know what he's doing? I've had kitchen cabinets that's been tore up that get on my nerves every time I try to go cook something for years. He fixed my cabinets, Johnny. See, a lot of times, lady, you want stuff done, but you do what the Bible calls nagging. Men don't like that. I got to stop because actually I'm way past time. Does anybody have a comment or a question or anything before we close? The point of that whole thing was for you to see, when you don't do what the Bible says, and when you don't adapt yourself to your husband's vision, what he believes that God is saying to him, you, woman, are the one that's going to get in trouble. Scotty didn't suffer any of that other than what I was saying or doing to him, because he's living his best life, he believes, following the vision and purpose of God. So we have to do things the way that the Bible says. And I can tell you, a lot of women think that it's bondage. It's not. It's like I said, I'm being peeled like an onion, and it's getting better and better. Not only my relationship with my inside. I have this saying now, and y'all might not would say it this way. This is what I tell myself. I cook, I clean, I handle business, and I shut up. Because, see, I had this real big thing about running everything. I need to run everything and everybody. Gosh, I've got to quit. All right, we'll recess till 11. I'm already going to be in trouble.